You're listening to Marriage Takeover with Eric and Tamika Thompson, helping to enrich your marriage.
Welcome. It's your girl, Tamika.
It's your boy, E-Rock, Nim.
And you know, we keep it real.
We keep it raw.
We keep it uncut.
All day.
And this is Marriage Takeover.
She forgot to say, we have been married for 22 years. Something, something, and something,
it's
something.
It's almost 23, though.
Listen, we've been married for a long time. Praise the Lord.
Listen, we want to welcome you. Thank you so much for tuning in, for stopping by. And listening to the podcast. If this is your first time, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure that you hit that subscribe button below.
Subscribe. Hit us up, Sam.
And make sure that you're connecting with us on our social media platforms as well. Yes. We are on IG, Facebook, and Twitter, and YouTube.
And
Marriage
YouTube,
Takeover.
And TikTok. And Rasa Ra.
You know what? And Marriage Takeover.
Marriage Takeover. We just want to say you are welcome.
Right.
Into this place.
We got another one. You are
welcome. Sorry, I hit that note
listen,
right.
Neither one of us did. Well, listen, we just want to welcome you. And for those of you who have tuned in and you are faithful listeners,
woo!
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For listening in and supporting. We really appreciate you.
Yes.
So today we are going to...
We going back, Slim. This part two.
Wait.
Hold up.
So
wait, we got to take in some fuel now.
Right. We have a few
announcements we need to make. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
So for this month, we have the month of April, and this is a thank you to all the public service employees.
We salute you, Slim.
So thank you so much for doing what you do.
Yes.
And despite the COVID, the pandemic, everything that you have done for your area, for the community, for the hospital.
Yes.
We thank you
we
so much.
We just want to tell you thank you. We give you hugs. We're so appreciative. Thank you.
We thank you. And it's also on the 22nd of this month, it's the Teach Your Child How to Save Day. So do us a favor. Make sure that you are teaching your child how to save money, how to save resources,
yes.
how to be resourceful, and get them in the mindset of being an entrepreneur.
Yes.
Right? So that is generational wealth that is going to continue to
grow. Continue on, because I'm going to tell you right now, because... My daughter said, listen, Daddy, I'm not doing nothing else until you pay me. I say, wait a minute. She says, Dad, they are what they call child labor laws. I say, wait a minute. So
And then she had to increase her fee.
Yeah, wait a minute. Hold on. First, how you going to tell me that I got to pay you? Then, but you know, the thing is that what she showed me was that, hey, I want to earn money.
Yes.
Since I cannot go get a job,
yes.
and since you are a business person, you need to hire me, and this is my wage. I am not doing minimum wage, no.
And she is phenomenal. She's our AV person, our tech person, our audio person, our website person.
Right.
So thank you so much, sweetheart, for doing what you do.
So teach your kids how to save.
And that's
when they
the
make
22nd
that
of April.
Yes, it's on 22nd, but you better start now. If you
right, please start now.
I know you might catch this the day before, but still, you better start now. Here
so,
we go.
So, we're going to go ahead and do a recap. We had Tasha and
Clinton. No, we have. Praise the Lord.
Tasha and Clinton Smith last month, who was talking about their journey from being divorced.
No, being married.
Being married to divorce, and then now remarried.
Remarried.
And we were only getting to the point to where they were talking about getting divorced.
Yes.
And so we're going to pick that conversation up.
We're going to pick it up because my eyes are still blown.
Right. So we're going to pick that conversation up and welcome Clinton and Tasha Smith with Restoration Ministries. Hello.
Hey!
Thank you so much for coming back for part two. We were really excited and enjoyed just kind of all the details that you offer from getting up to the point of being married and then now to you guys were at that brink of divorce. And so you were telling us, Tasha, right before you left off.
How you left the Lord for him. My God.
Yes. So pick that back up.
Hey, I guess that poll must be pretty good, huh?
You know what?
You left Jesus!
You know what? So for you and for our listeners, y'all know that my husband is a nut job. And if you don't know, here is our disclaimer now. My husband is a nut job. So welcome to the party.
My bad, I'm sorry.
That's why we got along so well when we met. That's why
right.
we got along so well.
Nutcases from day one.
Listen, hey, we don't open up in pride. Father heaven, Lord, we bless you now, God. We tell you thank you.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we just have your way like you've been doing it, God. We just give you glory, honor, and praise, Father God. We ask now, Lord God, that you continue to restore every heart that is hearing the testimony, oh God, that is listening round, that is listening now, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Yes. God, I ask that you continue to be with each and every couple that are listening, each and every person, oh God, that you see fit for these words of this broadcast to fall on, oh God. So, God, we pray now in the name of Jesus, oh God, that your will be done, oh God. Father, because you are a God of restoration. And God, we thank you right now. You are a God of a second chance. Or should I say another chance. And so, God, we just thank you right now, God, for not utterly casting us down, but yet, God, picking us up, God, letting us know that there is still hope. And so, Father, we thank you now, God. We give you glory. Father, we thank the Smiths, oh God, with restoration ministries, oh God. Father God, continue that. Let your will be done it right now in the name of Jesus. God, continue to do a new thing. And Father, we bless you right now. God, we give you the glory. Father, we say this prayer in your daughter's son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I guess some folks will say you're going to leave that pole alone. It's going to turn you away from Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead, honey.
As we regroup. I'm sorry. So Tasha, tell us how you were kind of at that pivotal point where you said you had, you know, visiting all these other ministries, where you were talking about how you just got to that point to where you were really upset with Clinton because you said, listen, I love God for you. And now we're here. So pick us up from back there and then kind of tell us how you still went to the process of filing divorce and then how much that cost y'all.
We got to know a number, Slim. Please give us a number.
I'll say this. When I made the decision to file for divorce, by then we had been through, I think, almost anything that a married family would have gone through except for, at that time, infidelity. Between mental and emotional abuse, verbal abuse, all those things, as well as learning how you want to be loved, they definitely create this barrier, this wall between you and your spouse. Because now I'm thinking, well, this is what I need. And he's saying, well, this is what I need. But when we got married, neither one of those were the needs. So communication, trust, all of those things are not just to get married. Those things are daily, minute by minute things you have to work on to stay married.
Wow.
And what we did is we actually began to give up because this one's not seeing my view. I'm not seeing his view. And definitely, I'm not hearing nothing in prayer. So what's the point? That's where I got to. After years of communication that basically told me that we wasn't going to stay together that much longer. Things of that nature, when you start having those conversations and God's not even in the conversations, it's very simple and very easy to just throw your hands up.
Yes.
And that's what I did. I did after years of just going through emotional and verbal, whatever the case may have been. The one thing that the Lord showed me, though, is that when this time was already predestined before we even thought about it, we knew that we were going to have a second marriage. The one thing I know for sure is that the Lord said, you are not going too fast if I'm not in. There's no reason to even do this again if I'm not going to be in. Because that's the reason it was like that in the first place. I'm going to try to say this kindly and sweetly. I love you. However, he's Marine. Through and through, all the way around. So not knowing how to even deal with that personality, because when we dated, we were still in college. We were in high school, college. So now I'm learning all these different things about him and the conversations and the arguments and the fights and the, I mean, like toe-to-toe, like everything, began to just eat away. When people tell you, oh, no, we're in love. We've been in love for 90 years. That's not true. It probably has been in love for 90 years, but off and on every other month, maybe. And that's the things that people are not telling us.
Right.
We don't see this marriage from such a biblical standpoint that, well, I have the Holy Ghost, he got the Holy Ghost, how come we're not coming together? How come we're not compatible? How come we're doing all this arguing? Why are we going through all these things? But never waited for the answer from the Lord to tell us.
Another thing, if I may interject, hearing from the Lord after being in so-called ministry for so long, there's so many variations of hearing from the Lord that it would cause it caused anybody any kind of confusion. And before you know it, your God is replaced.
Right.
His voice is replaced by what you're doing in the church and how you're submitting to the ministry and how you have to be the head, so you have to do this. All of those voices become just like noise throughout the ocean. It's just nothing but noise. And before you know it, you really don't have any direction. And you lack your own direction because the direction that you're seeking from is not the direction you need to be seeking. You need to be receiving.
Right.
From. So you throws yourself into like an abyss, and you really don't have any direction from God. So you really want to give up. Right. And you actually, at least for me, I did. I gave up. I gave up just to bring a little bit of clarity when I had got orders to Japan unaccompanied because my family didn't want to come with me. I had to go by myself. So they couldn't go because our child was ill and they didn't have the proper medical facilities over there. So I had to go for an entire year all by myself over there, 10,300 miles away, something like that. Yeah, it's about 10,000 miles away. And they got to move to Florida. So when I left Japan, I was coming into Florida, you know, this young lady who had gone through some changes, almost didn't know who she was. She was half the woman I
was. She walked past me in the airport.
I was like, I don't know what's going on. I thought I was confused. I was even more confused then. I was like, I see these in my chest. Who's this lady? So,
I'll tell you about that.
Yeah, there was a whole lot of other things going on, but the bottom line was that there was so much of God talk and God lingo and God behavior that I was instructed or guided to do that it wasn't really, really the actual unadulterated voice of God. So that was the actual basis of the God being out of us because we had none. We had zero. We went to several different churches trying to visit so we could hear God, and it was all the same. It was like, well, you got to do this, you got to do that. If you do it, then God's going to show up. That was their entire paradigm, not just sitting and listening to the voice of God. The voice of God I did not hear the actual voice of God till I was divorced, like officially divorced. So we will get to that point, you know, once we get to that point.
So, now, because you had said something, because I would like to know how was it when you all, because I take it that when you got orders to Japan and Tasha went on to Florida, I'll tell you that before you went to Japan, y'all were already on the rocks, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, we was on the rocks because
but we were in church though.
We yeah. Supposedly. We was in church. In ministry. Man, it was Tuesday night, Monday. Wednesday night.
Yeah.
It was musicians rehearsal, musicians prayer. It was ministerial training. It was everything.
Dinner on the way to service. Like that was your dinner. It was in the car on the way to church.
So absolutely. Can I ask a question real quick? Before I hit the question I wanted to ask, and I'm only saying the only reason why I'm asking this question because a lot of my listeners know that I'm a pastor, and so I know y'all know that, but I'm a pastor. Would you say was it the ministry that caused the rift in your marriage, or was it the understanding the non-understanding of marriage with ministry caused the rift.
That was it right there. because the men and women of God that we've been under, I can honestly say they've been second to none. I have no complaints about any one of them. However, I still have to remember that they are also human, and they are male or and female together. Right. So they're probably having the same exact issues that we are, and they got to go to counseling as well. So what I did, though, I ended up putting a lot more emphasis on the counseling we were getting. So trying to do whatever homework it was that was given to us, or, you know, thinking in a different light or whatever. It sounds good and it's broad, but how do you bring that home to the person you're married to? Right. Not just the thought of marriage and how it should be and what society says, you know, oh, the wife does this, the husband does this, and the word says this. And but how do you put all that together if you really have absolutely no clue how to start? So I do remember when we turned our life over to the Lord, I remember after having Tajanae in Hawaii, laying on the ground in my house with my Bible open on the floor. And I'm like, okay, Lord, they told me I'm supposed to be on my face praying and reading. So here I am.
In a long dress.
She said, in the long, don't forget the long dress.
Very true. But I laid there and I was like, okay, Lord, now what do I do? And I laid there, and then Tiara came and laid next to me and was like, are we taking a nap, Mom? I was like, I think so. I don't know.
The baby was confused
because all I knew was I kept seeing these women of God wailing and crying out to the Lord, and they were under the chair, and they were just, and I was like, God, I want that too. I want to be able to do that. So I would lay at home on my floor and wait. Oh. Never said nothing. Didn't know how to write my prayers down. Didn't know how to dissect correctly from me. Wow. Not that it was wrong all the way across the board, no. But for our ingredients, we were not getting to our ingredients because we were just that different in a mindset, but we were perfect as a one unit. Okay. So it wasn't the leadership or anything of that nature. I think that we gravitated more to leadership until we could understand more of the spiritual.
Right.
Unfortunately, that's how we, you know, that was how we began our real spiritual journey. I don't believe that was the right foundation. And that's what him and I found out was when we dated, our foundation was lust and sex. I mean, that's just what it was. We were being teenagers, you know, thinking we grown or whatever. That's what our foundation was. However, I did not realize, even on what, almost 14 years into the marriage, that this is a foundation that I helped my husband stand on.
Because
I'm the one who seduced him. I mean,
dude, I couldn't wait for her to be offering. It'd be offering time at church, and she would walk around the offering plate. I'd be like waiting, playing the keyboard. Like, wait, Lord, you are making
everybody singing the offering song in his mind. I don't see nothing wrong. Trying to sneak that beat in there like it was a shout music.
The Lord came through.
Right. And so is it safe to say that somewhere along the way something shifted and maybe the communication did not follow the shifting?
Yes. And where that came from too is when we finally sat and communicated. I will never forget one night on our couch in Florida. We were up talking till almost 4 a.m. And that's what shifted me. Because I found out that our foundation was all wrong. I'm finally hearing where he was at because we were just bickering and I'm not understanding. Well, this is just, you know, we're married, we're in love, you know, this is just, we roll with the punches. And that's not how he's married. So in all those times of arguing and fussing or fighting and going at things, we really did not speak. So when we did finally have that conversation that night, we were up to 4 a.m. and I found out all the things that I didn't know about my marriage. My husband's foundation was simply sex with me. Yes, he was logistics, you know, taking care of everything, taking care of the family, and I'm at home with the kids, so I should be doing this, the, so, and the other. And he's at work, so he should be doing this, the, so, and the other. those are the things that they tell you. Those are the things you see on TV. Those are the things that you want to try to make in your marriage.
I see your hand, sir. I see your hand.
However, you can't even get to that point unless your foundation is sure. And everything we kept trying to do on top of a shaky foundation, just like Jenga, we never won. Ever. Right. We never
won. What's up?
So when I finally decided to file, that was after years and years.
Hold on, wait a minute. Before you get there, I've got to ask this question.
Yes, sir. I'm scared.
So was one of, could you say, will it be safe to assume that?
Don't assume. Never safe to assume.
Okay. No, I'm saying, I was asking the question. That the way you thought marriage was based off the stigma that a lot of marriages are built on today. That the man is this, this, and this, and the woman should be this, this, and this.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And that's
even from our marriage classes in church. All the homework we had to do, all the studying, the scriptures and stuff. That is exactly what we were taught.
So did you all So did you all have a conversation with each other to decide or to determine what you wanted your marriage to look like?
Oh yeah, we knew what we wanted it to look like. We never had the tools to do it.
Okay. Well, hold on, wait a minute. You said that you never had the tools to do it
at that time, not knowing we did and didn't know it. That's what I'm saying. We did and had no idea how to get there. Yeah. So with all of the counseling and the calls and the up all nights, because when we lived there, we were across the street from our pastor, who became our pastor, first lady. After all of that, we were right across the street. So I would be the first one to, I'd be crying and just praying, pray for me, pastor, you know. But more so than anything, we were being married based upon what we were taught.
Exactly.
Not based on us. Yeah. What's going to work for us? Everybody might have a date night, and that may not work for us because we want date week, whatever it is.
Right.
I didn't know that we were supposed to make it
our own.
We didn't have that.
I was supposed to be taking enough time to not just study the word, but study my wife in the word, study how she moves, how she behaves, how the word and her are synonymous with worship. You got to study her. You got to study to show thyself approved. She's got it's that worship and that romance that basically go together. But I knew that, but I just was not putting enough of it into practice. Not enough at all.
The one thing I will say to couples, the one thing I know for a fact, and I'll go into it when we speak about the newness. The one thing I know for a fact is that if you take God out of any aspect, even asking the Lord, what should I make for dinner today? I mean, something to that point, when you get to wanting to really be one with somebody, that's the kind of prayers you need to hear someone say, that's what you need to be talking to the Lord about. Or, you know, how to pray for your spouse, how to pray with your spouse, all those things. We ended up doing kind of like trial by error because, we're reading. Yeah, we're studying. I'm writing left and right. I'm on stage. We're doing all these things, but we come home and don't talk.
Wow. Right.
We come home and you don't want to touch me and I don't want to touch you.
He's a long dress, man. Couldn't get past it.
But
I'm just saying, to be sanctified, you know, got the thing over the head.
I did not do doilies. We will never do doilies.
Right. But I think it's really important.
About that.
Right. It's really important only because in something that I want to spotlight out and make sure that the headlight is out for every couple that's listening, like that's one of the reasons when we do premarital coaching, that if you aren't saved, both of y'all ain't saved. Like we can't even start.
Ain't no need because
that you're missing the ingredient, the key ingredient,
right?
And so when you are married, and for every couple, every marriage that is listening, it's important for you to understand that if you take God out of the component, because here's the thing, everybody can hear from God. So we should not have to wait to go to a leader or go to somebody who is a prophet, go to somebody who, you should be hearing from God yourself about your marriage and how things are going. And that's why it's more important for the husband to be in alignment, because he's the one that's going and advocating to God for on behalf of the family.
And it's, and likewise, is also in the same sense that that wife still has to be in that sanctify. Place to sanctify
yes.
that husband
yes.
when he do step
yeah,
out.
Guess what?
Right.
Because
right.
sometimes we husbands, we got
to get tired.
Listen, I'm a pastor and I still get out of pocket. So she got to sanctify me. You
right.
know what I mean? And so, and that's where, you know, I think where a lot of us, we know the word, but we lack the application of the word.
Right.
And,
right.
And sometimes we lack it because we have not had no one to be able to literally show us
right.
what it looks like.
Right.
And so, I think sometimes.
And then in this sense too, for those of us who, and even, you know, anyone who was not in a household watching marriage.
Right.
Right.
So for me right. and my husband, we've always been the type, even when it was bad, we didn't yell and argue and scream in front of our kids. We would go in our room and close the door. When it got really bad, we'd be outside in the car with the windows rolled up, because I don't want my children to think that this is all marriage is, because
right.
we were in that area. We were already getting to the point where I need to know who I am. You need to know who you are. We're kind of just going different ways and everything was an issue. Well, I don't want my children to feel like they're the issue.
Yeah.
Right.
Because
we
argued about them. All the time.
Yeah.
So, and that was a major chunk right there, because being married is one thing, but having a family and being a mother and a father over children and your ministry
right.
when you're called.
Right. Yeah.
That is the blocks that sit on top of the male's shoulders. And then
yeah.
even for us, because everything that rolls off them blocks come to us. And we
right.
fix the blocks and put them back in the right place.
That's another right. that's another
so.
Very, very good point, especially in my position. I tried to hear from God so many different times that I would open my mouth and be like, whatever I spoke is going to happen, and the total opposite would happen. And I mean
yeah.
the total opposite
right.
would happen.
Yeah.
I'd be like, well, God, I ain't got no authority. I ain't got nothing to say. That it kind of, it really, really took away from, I guess, my manhood, and be like, well, shoot, God, I guess I'm not hearing from you, or I'm only hearing you from the oracle of my wife, but
right.
but do
and
I?
That was,
do,
yeah.
yeah, that busted my bubble. I was like,
yeah.
so I speak because you say I can speak it and I believe it, and the total opposite happened that happened is the way that she spoke that it was going to happen. So I must either don't exist, or I'm gonna put her in uniform and I'm gonna put on a long skirt and sit here and be on the floor, because everything I'm saying is not happening. Everything that she's saying is happening. I said, I must be out of place. I said, yeah, that was one of the places that I remember being at, being like, well, I got nothing to say to you then. I don't want to say nothing. I just want to be left alone. And here I am in Okinawa, Japan, by myself, without my family. That was a deep, dark place.
Tamika, one of the things that you have mentioned was the wife is sanctifying the husband, which is what the word tells us.
Yeah.
When I thought I was sanctifying or helping to sanctify my husband more than he wanted, or I thought there was so much more that I needed to push him into and get him into his purpose and his calling, and you're just, you know, your calling is sure and the Lord has spoken all the things that I used to put. Remember, I used to have fasting schedules on my wall.
Yeah,
like, for the whole household, we had fasting schedule and everything. I'm telling you, it's going to go back to if you are not asking the Lord how to,
right.
not Home Depot, not Lowe's, Lord, how to, and
right.
put any and everything after the how to, he will answer if you wait and listen. We didn't
right.
wait to listen because we were frustrated and we were irritated and everything we were putting into place wasn't working. Well, that was a problem. We were putting it into place. And we
right.
took God out of it completely. And so, yes, the wife sanctified the husband, but the wife also caused the husband to backslide. What had happened was,
come on.
Like I said, when we got to Florida, I was completely out of it. I was done. Mm-hmm. However, when he got there, his mindset was still in truth, in love, and in, you know, all the things that we grew up with church-wise. So he came home and was like, why do you have a bottle of Hennessy in your cabinet? Mm-hmm. I said, because I'm getting ready to drink it. What's the problem? He was not happy.
Oh my gosh.
They don't play that. They don't say that place is the corridor of the wicked for nothing. I mean, I come from darkness.
Yeah.
Talk about buy me drinky girls all the way in Okinawa, Japan. Woo, Jesus. And then I come home and I'm trying to hear my wife is getting ready to sanctify me. Really? Yeah. She's ready to baptize me with a bunch of I can't. I'm really lost. Yeah. The head is lost.
Right.
The head
is lost. And I will say, though, once I got to the point of filing for divorce, we were so far out of God's will that had we went to sleep at any given moment and died, we would be literally in the lake of fire right now. God wouldn't even wait to put them in the lake of fire. We'd just be there already. Our eternity would start then. However, the reason I call God my silent partner then, before, is because I couldn't hear him, but he was always there. We didn't go without. We didn't have any kind of tragedy to the point where, you know, we are burying children or, you know, long hospital stays or anything like that. Everything that happened to us in Florida, we were still covered because the Lord honored the praise and the worship we had given up years before. That's the other part.
That's the other part.
You got to put in your worship and your praise and your prayer because you never know when it's going to be pulled and be like, okay, y'all don't have nothing. So here, I'm going to give this back to you because you already gave it to me. So I'm going to give it back to you. That's the only way we made it to Florida. The only way. My children, for being teenagers and growing up without their parents being in church, my children were the reason we made it home.
Wow.
The Lord utilized our kids. They prayed.
And a child shall lead them.
My children, they prayed over us. Tajanae, still to this day, she writes scriptures as God gives to her, and she puts them all around her walls. So back then, she would come get me from upstairs. I'm on the third floor. She would come get me, take me all the way to the first floor, put me in front of those scriptures and say, now, Mom, read this. And I'd be like, trust the Lord with all your heart. We not, I already know. Mom, read it. I am. It says, she's like, no, you're not reading it. You're reading it, but you're not reading it. And she would do this to me every time she saw me just wailing and crying. He's not there. He's in a different state. Last 2 years in military. Horrible time frame for us.
Creation, yes.
Yes, I know. But
Because that's one question I do have to ask. Now, for those of you, me and my brother right here, he's also one of the founding members of our motorcycle ministry, which is called Church Boys. And so we're grateful. But the one thing about me and him is that we share one moment to where we both came so close to losing our lives. And so because
together,
right?
Because like we both wrecked at the same time in the same place the whole night. And I mean, we was coming in at least 50, 60, 70, you know.
Man, it was cool.
Man.
And
50, 60, 70 miles per hour?
On base.
Wait. No, go keep your testimony. Keep your testimony.
Wait, but I'm trying to figure that's slow for you on your motorcycle.
No, because we was coming around a curve.
So tell the story, but tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
So when we went down, we was going about it had to be at least 60. Cause we tried to turn our corner kind of tight.
Y'all hear how it went from 50 to 60?
I said at least. All right.
So it was a 15-mile-an-hour curve. It was a 15-mile-an-hour curve.
Wow. Right. But we wasn't going there. We was going away. So, but anyway.
Thank you for taking the keys, Tamika. I'm always gonna love you.
So but my question is, when we wrecked, me and him both landed on memorials from other people that had died on that same curb. And so we had to literally ride our busted bikes from, it's about what, almost an hour ride. And it's dark at this time. And so when we got home, my wife, she took our keys. She took our keys. Yeah. And she called Tasha. So yes, with everything that you all was going through at that point, when you heard that he was in a bike accident, how did you feel?
I was getting ready to go get on a flight that I didn't have money for. I was going to find a way in cargo somewhere.
Right.
But it wasn't to make sure he was okay. It was so I could go punch him in the face and then go back home. Because you're out there. I don't know if you're okay. And y'all is riding and y'all crashing. And I didn't know what to do, but my sister had me. So I was bad. My sister had me. She already had me. So I was good with that. But that's the thing.
You got keys.
I sure did.
The thing about it is that we, I'll tell you this.
I love you. Just remember that. I love you.
Because they tried to come in and sneak like they had done nothing.
Oh, right?
And I think I was washing dishes.
Yeah, you was washing dishes.
I was washing dishes, and it was our son who was like, dang, what happened to y'all?
That's why my nephew is always going to be my friend.
Right. So I had to stop to look, and what happened? Like, let me stay at home so I know you're safe. So at this point, what happened?
Hey, we were so in the morning, though.
And then they tried to lie about it. It was like they were big kids, right? It was like they were big kids, and they knew they were in trouble. And they were like, hey, if we just stick to the story, nobody will know.
He wouldn't even call me. He wouldn't call. He waited. Mm-mm, I ain't calling her yet.
I had some wisdom. I had some wisdom and some distance.
But
right.
Even in that time frame, and this is where it's about to get real.
Wait, hold on one second. This is about to get real, but for those of you who are tuning in, if you're just joining us, this is Marriage Takeover. We have Tasha and Clinton Smith on the line, who was telling us how they got married, got to divorce, and then they got remarried. So now that she's about to drop this nugget in this bomb, so we're going to sit back.
Well, for years, I tried really hard to be everything to my husband. I wanted to be the apple of his eye. I didn't want anyone else to get that smile, flag, or anything from him. It was always supposed to be me. Well, for some years, it was not just me. And it wasn't that he was doing anything, but emotionally, we were not where we could have been because there were things and people. So when we got to the point where there was infidelity on both sides, I think that's when I checked out of life, not just of my marriage.
Hold on.
So y'all got, there was infidelity and you both chose to forgive and remarry even in spite of that to continue forward.
After.
Hold on. Okay. Hold on. Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. If you do not mind, and this is really just for me, because there was, okay, can I ask if it's okay? And if you don't mind sharing with people, you can call me later and tell me. Because you said there's infidelity on both sides. When I'm having a hard time getting the question.
Who cheated first?
Where were you?
There.
Were you in Maryland at the time?
I was there in Maryland. And
Were you in the apartment? Did you move to the other one?
The second apartment.
In Arlington.
I pray that it wasn't the night because the Lord told me to go to your house because I called you and I think I called you like 12 times and was like, dude, what's going on? You good? You fine? Hey, and you like hung up, like getting off phone. I said, no. Because I want to say I even called, I think Aaron was with me at the time. And yeah. No, I went by, but I remember going by myself.
This is not about you, honey.
No, because what I'm saying is, because when I drove over, this is why it's so important sometimes for us to listen to the Spirit of God and to fall obedient to the Spirit of God. Because, dude, when I tell you, like, that night, it was like, oh my God. So I'm going to tell you, I am so sorry for being disobedient to the Spirit because I was supposed to literally go and bang down your door. But this was a funny thing. You was not there. I drove almost to Baltimore.
Yeah.
And drove to, I can't even remember the place where I was. But I said, oh no, I'm going back home. I was supposed to literally go up to this stranger's house and bang on the door. Like I knew. Dude, I am so sorry. I am so sorry.
Oh my God. That's just how sorry I was when I did it and I knew it. And the first thing I did, and I know I'm gonna lose my bro card on this, but I told the pastor, I was like, look, I called Tosh and said, I messed up. I called her. My counselor was like, you did what? He said, I'm taking your card now. You don't ever do that. And I was like, yeah, you don't do it. But at the same time, I still had enough honor for this woman that gave me all the life that I did have, whether good, bad, or indifferent. I owed her that much, if not more. At a minimum, all I could say was, I messed up. I did it. I'm really sorry. I'm pretty sure I know what you're going to do now. But... I did it, and
but
that was the bottom line for me.
That wasn't the reason I filed. That was the final straw.
Yeah.
So what it came to was me having to make that decision for myself, and I was so much in this dark abyss wilderness area, especially in my mind, and being there with no family, no church, no. I mean, in 6 years, you don't do barbecues, birthday parties, nothing with nobody. That's where we were at. It was just me and the kids when he was there. And it was just us when he was home. But that night, Eric, you weren't the only one who had the same feeling. And I wasn't even praying, but in the Lord at all, per se. I was a pre-licensed minister. I gave it all up, did all that stuff. But I was sitting on my couch, and about 9:30 that night, I had this sickening feeling in my stomach to call my husband. And when he answered the phone, I knew exactly why I had to call him, because he whispered when he answered the phone, and it was dead silent in the background. Anybody who knows my husband, there's either music playing, or more music playing. Something's going on in the background, but it was dead silence. And he answered the phone. Like, oh crap, I'm in trouble. And I knew from the moment he answered the door, answered the phone. However, I don't even know if I was sad, hurt, upset, angry more at what was done, more so than the fact that I knew that he really, really liked this woman. It wasn't just sexual. So for me, that right there is what literally took away my entire life, like everything. I had the death demon in my bedroom for 3 straight months trying to get me to jump out of my third story window and end it all. My house, and this is God is my witness, my kids can definitely testify, my house, I don't know if the persons who were there before us were into witchcraft or something of that nature, but because we were not sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord, we were tormented in this place for 2 years. Mainly me. Wow. And I have pictures. I would wake up with bruises on my legs My husband's not there. I'd wake up and there's fingerprint bruises on my legs.
Oh, wow.
On my window. It looked like something was wiping off my window with oil, and it wasn't me praying over my own room. My shower was start dripping every morning at 4:06. When I told him, he didn't believe me. When he got home, when our kids had a really bad accident, thank you, Jesus, they walked away from it. When he was home, the shower started dripping at 4:06. And being that I was already mad at him, I popped him and I said, see, 4:06. I know what I'm talking about. But these are the things of battles that we were going through just trying to stay married for what?
Yeah.
We're being married for what? We're parents. We're going to always be parents. Yeah. You have your career. I have mine, which I didn't, but I wanted to. That was the final straw.
And that was, I knew that was the final straw for her. But even before then, the final straw for me was when I had deployed to Afghanistan. And I was already a million miles away. And I contacted my wife, and she wasn't where I thought she was, where I thought she was, would be. So that was, I knew then, like, okay, I'm not that person or that guy or that husband to her anymore, because she's not where she should be. I'm not going to bug her. She told me. I didn't ask her. She just told me. I was like, I really don't care if I die in a deployment zone. At least I'll get a halfway decent severance or a halfway decent burial. But being over there in Afghanistan, once we did get some heavy fire at that time when I was there in Afghanistan, and I was like out in the open. I was like, okay, Lord, I'm here. I don't care if I get bombed or shot, whatever the case is. You know, on my way to my bunk or my place of safety, I was like, if you take me now, I could care less, because you know my whole world has been taken from me. So wow. I really don't care. So it was, that was my dark place. And Afghanistan happened before, you know, Maryland. So I was already.
Wow, so you were already there.
Yeah, I was already there. I was like, I really don't care. And I could care if she cares.
He told me, I don't care who you screw. That's exactly what he said.
It didn't matter that at that point. It really, really didn't matter. And I thank God that he did still spare my life in the midst of, you know, being bombed in Afghanistan. That wasn't no joke. So
right.
But he did bring us back and got us where we are, somewhere like that. Go ahead, sis.
So Tasha, did you, because Clinton cheated, did that then give you the right to go to, like, did you feel like you had an obligation now? No,
I actually, the person that I gravitated to was a coworker of mine. For us females, validation, you know, attention, all those things are what we desire as women. And you're married and you're not having that at home because there's so much here. I would have never been that one.
Ever.
Because I was so enthralled with this man. I gave him my entire everything, my career. I gave it up. Things that I like to do, my hobbies, plays, writing, all of that. I gave all of that up to be married, thinking that that's what I needed to do, because he wasn't into any of those things. He didn't like me always being gone for rehearsals. So I gave over my entire being to this man, and then finding out that he really didn't know what to do with it, and so he just took advantage of it. And I thought that was just the wrongest thing, and I was so upset. But then I had to think about it, like, well, you didn't really know what you wanted either. You just wanted to be with him. But how do you define being with him? So I would accept all kinds of things. I would accept embarrassment and whatever in our previous years. And so he felt like, well, you've been doing it. Why not? Why stop? You've been tolerating me. Why stop? You've been doing whatever I say. So why stop? Well, I think it was simply because I started growing up. And he started growing up. Because we got married, I was 21. we had my daughter. I was 19. So we didn't grow up. We grew up adults. So we began to start seeing different things that we wanted to do in life, and they were not coinciding with the marriage that we had built.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask this. Mm-hmm. No, go ahead. I'm sorry to cut you off. Go ahead.
Because I know we're at a little bit of time left, but the person that I was friends with and really got really close to was more for a lack of attention and the lack of love and romance in our relationship at the time. Not because he was gone, and not because he had met this female, because I had already met my coworker before that, but I wasn't even on that plane. When I found out when he met her, and I saw in his eyes how much enamored he was with her, that's when I was like, screw it. This dude been after me for the longest. Let's go. So all I did was we went on dates. We did this. We did that. And I told him. And I wanted him to save me, but he didn't.
Oh,
and I didn't think past that. I didn't think about, well, if he doesn't save you, what are you going to do? I didn't think that way. I was thinking, this is my husband. He's going to come back for me. He's going to help me. He's going to save my emotional, mental breakdown and deficit. No, what he told me was, oh, now you want me to ride in like a dark knight?
That's good, though, because here's why I say it's good. So we have, like, we literally have, like, 9 minutes left. So we might have to extend this one out just a little bit. But because here's what's important. We have unspoken expectations that when we do something, when we want something, when we say something, we expect for our spouses to completely and fully understand what we're saying and what we want them to do. And it's so unfair to them, because I've done that for years. And it's so unfair to him,
not
listen, don't believe the hype. I have done that for years because it wasn't fair to him, because I expected you to do this without him knowing. That was the expectation or the level that I was looking for him, or the expectation even for him to be able to meet. So I had the bar up here as to what I thought that my husband should be. And he was like, Shawty, you took it wrong.
I say, well, I might as well lean that slip for the reach out one.
She's not even that tall.
Even today, let me tell y'all, it's like every time we get to cleaning up and doing stuff around the house, for whatever reason, he always has to go somewhere. He always has to go pick something up or go shower. He's got to always do something.
I couldn't tell.
Always, because even my daughter and I, like, we break it. Even when my son is home and me and her, you know, cleaning, and she's like, where's dad and EJ going? Where's dad going? I don't know, but they're going somewhere. How can they always leave it when it's time to clean up? I mentioned that to him today because I was like, why is it that you always go? Like, I needed him for a lot of things today. And he was just like, what, babes? What do you want? Like, what do you need? And I'm just like, dude.
I sure will.
Like, I don't understand why I need you for this. But I did not before the day even started or even throughout the day. Babes, I'm getting ready to start this. You know, I'm probably going to need you here because I don't want to blow up the house. Like, I'm probably going to need you here because I'm going to need this thing done. And I did not communicate that to him. So it's really important that as we go throughout our marriage, as we go throughout our life, because things change and our expectations change, our needs change, our desires and our wants change. So we have to be mindful to continually communicate that change and then also just share it. Because it's so unfair to them for us, me sitting around being mad, because I'm like, listen, I'm not going to keep doing this. I'm not going to keep running, you know, among. So I finally was just like, listen, because we used to have a cleaner that would come and clean the house. Listen.
I'm sorry. We're trying to get out of debt. I'm sorry. No. Listen. No cleaning. We the cleaners.
No. We are not.
I got to get the clean first.
We are not.
I got to get in the mood to
see
clean.
See that right there? If you happen to be in the mood, no, I'm gonna need the bathroom done, and you don't even have to be in the mood.
No, it's okay. We try to get out of debt right now.
So no.
I gotta pay off some things.
Y'all watch that journey, because that journey is coming. Only because, like, I have a certain expectation, and I'm okay if you don't want to be there, but then we gotta compromise and meet somewhere in the middle, because it's not being
we gotta reason one another.
Right.
The other thing, for me, as the wife, the one thing I always was taught, regardless of what it is that he wants, I'm supposed to do. Or what he's, you know, as a head.
Did y'all hear this?
But I think that's the expectation. And so that's where I think we sometimes get it wrong, because they will teach that, and they will say that is submission. When that's not submission, because you have to you have to make sure that you are to submit one to another.
Right. That is the verse. I'm sorry, honey. I did cut you off.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, because I'm doing a set, because we're studying at the church, we're studying Ephesians. And so we're in Ephesians 5. I'm sorry. Because that is the one thing before we get into, wives, submit yourself to the altar. No, what did it say in the beginning? Before you even got there, it says submit one to another. Then Paul begins to write it down, you know what I'm saying? Wives, then he dealt. But he said, but first you got to learn to submit to one another. Then he tells you why you are to submit to one another.
But before you submit to one another, they tell you that you submit to God.
What? That's for both.
Right. For both of you to submit to God. So if we aren't submitting to God, then guess what? It's going to be a whole lot of flesh. It's going to be a whole lot of, no, this is what I said, this is what you said. Or it's, listen, this is like, this is not how I was made up. Like when they were studying, listen, we were in Alaska and they were talking about submit to the husband. I was like, what? That's a foreign language.
Y'all know she a thug.
When they do that,
that's the thing too. It turned me from being a thug. So when I got to Florida, I'm gonna tell you right now, my daughter nicknamed me in Florida. My middle name is Monique. So she nicknamed my alter ego Nikki. The people that are in Florida right now wouldn't know who I am, and the people here that would have seen me in Florida would have been like, who is that?
Right.
Two totally different mindsets, two different spiritual, you know, places. But I will say this, when my mother knew that we were getting ready to be real, that's when we started getting contacted by our pastor. And we were counseling on the phone. I'm in Tampa, he's in DC, pastor's in San Diego. We were on conference call, counseling. And like I wasn't hearing what I needed to hear. So I went forward with my filing. But once
how much
again,
did that cost you? Closely.
Thank you for tuning in to Marriage Takeover. Connect with us on Facebook at Marriage Takeover.